Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us on this New Year's weekend. Goodbye, 2022. Welcome, 2023. On New Year's Day, 1863, President Lincoln signed the document he had promised 100 days before. On September 22nd, Lincoln had proclaimed that on the first day of January in the year of our Lord 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforward and forever free. And the day had come. He told those around him, "I never in my life felt more certain I was doing the right thing than I do in signing this paper." So let us all pledge to do something this year that is right and requires a great deal of courage. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, I understand you've been on a diet. Was it a weight gain or what kind of?
Well, I suppose it could be, but no, about the last 3 weeks, I've been trying out a new diet. It's a diet of my own making. It's called the bean burrito and frappuccino diet.
My goodness.
Yeah, I know. You've probably never heard of it, have you?
No, and it doesn't sound very weight lossy.
Well, actually, I've done pretty good. I've lost like 6 pounds. You know, so it does work. The problem is that I've eaten so many bean burritos that no one will come near me. It's like, if you want solitude, go on the bean burrito diet, Colonel.
You know, I believe that. I mean, I sure wouldn't want to be downwind of you ever.
And stay away from open flames.
Oh, good point. Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the disaster on the southern border that our federal government wants to be happening. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, Army vet Dr. John Hughes will discuss our nation's nonsense response to COVID and what he's going to do about it. Next, Dr. Deborah Korn will discuss her very excellent way for treating trauma and will review December's movie of the month and then learn about December's battle of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, after the fall of the Soviet Union in the 1990s, several bloc states declared independence from the USSR. Ukraine was among them. As part of a deal, Ukraine ceded munitions, ballistic missiles, and strategic bombers to Russia for decommissioning. At the time, they had the third largest nuclear-capable military in the world. Now it appears Russia is using Ukrainian-made missiles and aircraft against it. Ukraine said Russia deployed Kh-55 subsonic cruise missiles from the bombers the country turned over in the 1990s. The general stated they used old weapons as decoys. The Russians removed the warheads. After the Ukrainian military responded to the dud missiles, Russian aircraft firing modern rockets with powerful warheads attacked.
You know, this kind of mixing things up happens in war. My prayers are with the Ukrainian people. The Russians aren't that smart.
And in March, the United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency warned that Iran was stockpiling uranium that it could use to make a nuclear bomb. By doing so, it warned the Islamic Republic had violated a 2015 accord. Now Al-Qaeda, the Harris group responsible for 9/11, has reportedly secured nuclear materials from Iran. According to an Israeli newspaper, Iran was delivering nuclear materials to Houthi rebels in Yemen when Al-Qaeda intercepted some. The media outlet noted a scarcity of details and said it was unclear how the radical group acquired the dangerous materials.
This should not be a surprise. Iran is and has been for decades the primary supporter of terrorism in the world. Why our country has trusted them to do anything they promise is beyond me. Their leadership is pure evil.
And a notice from West Point superintendent says that during the holiday break, they will begin a multi-phase process in accordance with Department of Defense directives to remove, rename, or modify assets and real property at West Point that commemorate or memorialize the Confederacy or those who voluntarily served with the Confederacy.
You know, the culture of our nation in the 1860s, the time of the Civil War, was that people were more loyal to and concerned for their states than they were with the federal government. Most were fighting for their states. How is that dishonorable? Yes, slavery was an issue, which is evil, but that's not the major issue. Robert E. Lee was one of the greatest generals in our history, and he served our nation well prior to the war, and now we're dishonoring him? Part of the healing after the Civil War was over was that states were permitted to name military posts for their local heroes, and in the South, those men had fought for the Confederacy. This Pentagon directive is worse than nonsense.
At the Del Amo Fashion Center Mall in Torrance, near Los Angeles, California, four ne'er-do-wells thought they had an easy enough score on their hands, failing to realize that there was a military recruitment center in that mall. One evening, just before Christmas, officers responded to several masked suspects armed with hammer and gloves stealing from a jewelry store within the mall. The Torrance Police Department reported, as they attempted to flee, nearby military personnel and bystanders held two suspects until officers arrived. Quote, one of them had a hammer, so he was coming out. Let him slide by, saw the other three with no weapons, grabbed one of them, dropped them down, and just kind of detained them. Staff Sergeant Josu Fragas Medina said, and then when I looked back, a couple of my recruiters, and actually one of my applicants, was detaining the other guy, so we got two of the four. Thanks to the swift response of the military personnel, most of the stolen jewelry was recovered. You gotta love those Marines, Colonel. You gotta love them.
They did a good job. Way to go, Marines. Good judgment and a powerful response.
And military bases that housed tens of thousands of Afghan refugees in the U.S. incurred almost $260 million in damages that in some cases rendered buildings unusable for troops until significant repairs to walls and plumbing are made, the Pentagon's Inspector General found. Over the last 2 weeks of August 2021, our Air Force managed the largest humanitarian evacuation in its history, airlifting 120,000 people from Afghanistan in just 17 days. The bulk of them were Afghans fleeing Taliban rule, and our aircraft delivered tens of thousands of those Afghans initially to bases in the Mideast and Europe. After processing, many of the refugees were flown to eight military bases in the U.S., where many were housed for months as they awaited visa processing and resettlement. The last Afghan refugee left military housing in February. The sheer volume of people in the temporary housing left those barracks and buildings with significant wear and tear, the Inspector General found.
This removal of those Afghans, most of whom did help our nation during the war, was the noble part of the horrible, traitorous abandonment into the hands of the Taliban of some U.S. citizens and other Afghans we'd promised to protect, not to mention billions of dollars worth of modern military equipment. Yes, these Afghans did a lot of damage to the places they were housed. And now we're discussing using military bases to house millions of illegal aliens that we're inviting to come across our southern border? This sounds crazy to me.
And a week ago, North Korea fired two short-range ballistic missiles toward its eastern waters, its latest weapons demonstration that came days after U.S. and South Korean warplanes conducted joint drills that North Korea views as an invasion rehearsal. North Korea has conducted an unprecedented number of missile tests this year in what some experts call an attempt to bolster its weapons capability and pressure its rivals to make concessions such as sanctions relief in future negotiations. Recently, the North also performed major tests needed to acquire its first spy satellite and a more mobile intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching the U.S. mainland.
You know, China can stop this anytime they want to, but they like North Korea to do this kind of thing. It attracts attention so that we don't notice all the hostile things China is doing towards us. China is the real enemy. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cv4a.org. That's cv4a.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk COVID with Dr. John Hughes. At East Troops, take a break.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDlawyers.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. A loyal dog can be a useful force multiplier when it comes to home defense. They have keen hearing and sense of smell and will likely sense danger before their human counterparts. A large, obedient, and well-trained dog can deter and even delay an attacker, giving you time to get to your gun. Even a small dog will provide advanced warning and possibly save the lives of yourselves and the ones you love. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I eat it. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. And now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, our nation is a nation of law. We are all expected to know and follow the law. If you get stopped by a cop for speeding, it's no defense to say, I didn't know I was speeding. You get a ticket. Yet, our federal government is actively, regularly, and purposefully welcoming illegal aliens into our nation in violation of our law. And we have law enforcement officers. They put their lives at risk at work to enforce our laws. How could any government support activities that hinder the efforts of our officers, especially to the point of increasing officer suicide? When you look at what has been happening for the past 2 years and what's going on right now, there is no other conclusion than our government seeks to have illegal aliens enter and stay in our nation. And yes, Mexican cartels are taking full advantage of this, moving drugs and criminals and sex slaves and medically contagious people here, and making millions of bucks doing it. One does wonder why this is all happening now. A recent Fox News report demonstrates the hardships faced by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agents due to President Biden's open borders and relaxed immigration enforcement policies. Excerpts from ICE training videos show the federal government completely lost track of at least 150,000 illegal immigrants in the summer of 2021 alone. The video shows federal border officers discussing the logistical issues that they face daily as there have been hundreds of thousands of illegal migrants released into our country during the Biden administration without adequate processing. The videos that Fox News analyzed were produced between November 2021 and February 2022. They were obtained after they were disclosed during a discovery process in a pending lawsuit between Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody and the Biden Department of Homeland Security. The material indicates that the Biden administration ordered the release of migrants without formal charging documents in March of 2021. Illegal migrants were only told to report to their nearest ICE office. The charging documents typically required under federal law are vital tools used by ICE to locate and remove people who violate laws. The material also shows that the Biden White House initiated Operation Horizon in 2021. To locate more than 150,000 illegals who had disappeared inside our country so that their legal charging documents could be mailed to them. The video also shows how ICE agents could not locate and remove aliens because, can you believe this, the Department of Homeland Security withheld their identifying information. Another ICE video indicated at the beginning of March 2021, the release into the U.S. of illegals without charging documents, quote, does not address the underlying challenges regarding ICE's congressionally mandated responsibility to locate, arrest, and place in the removal process those non-citizens who are not in possession of a valid, unexpired entry document, end quote. Moody said that since day one of his administration, President Biden has purposely broken down the structure and law enforcement at our nation's border with Mexico, all while confusing and misleading the nation about this devious, reckless scheme. Moody added that her lawsuit has shown that losing track of illegals has been the administration's plan all along. She said that Florida intends to force Biden to follow the law and try to mitigate the national disaster, end quote. The videos were brought to attention a day before the Title 42 policy was set to expire on December 21st. However, a Supreme Court justice delayed the expiring of the policy. The court is hearing pleas from multiple states who insist on keeping the immigration restrictions. Title 42, which was invoked by former President Trump in March of 2020, allowed the administration to expel illegal immigrants entering the southern border during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Biden administration has been preparing to end the policy. Quote, if Title 42 ends, the administration may blame the mass surge of unvetted migrants on this rule's remission, but don't be fooled. They're playing fast and loose with the lives of Americans to advance an absurd political agenda, Moody said. As our litigation uncovered, this has been the administration's plan all along. They've let in and lost track of hundreds of thousands of inadmissible immigrants, and it will get worse if Title 42 expires. We will continue our litigation efforts to force Biden to follow the law and try to mitigate this national disaster. According to data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, patrol officials reported over 2.37 million encounters in the 2022 fiscal year, which spans from October 2021 through September 2022. This is up from 1.73 million in the 2021 fiscal year and 500,000 for fiscal year 2020. Former CBP Commissioner Mark Morgan criticized the Biden administration for removing any consequences of entering illegally. 90% of illegal immigrants end up with a fake and fraudulent claim for asylum. We should not be releasing them into the United States. We should be detaining them, he said. Folks, it's bad, and it's going to get worse. Let your U.S. senators and Congress critters know you want them to stop this now and start exporting illegals and stop letting illegals in anyway. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
In April, a Chinese fighter jet crashed in a rural part of eastern China. The two pilots safely ejected and were quickly surrounded by locals who recorded the encounter. One of the villagers asked, "Who is that?" pointing to one of the pilots, a white man with red hair who spoke English. The Chinese pilot responded, "That is our instructor. Don't take any photos." You know, this year we've been hearing more about why foreign pilots might be found in Chinese jets. The Chinese are paying about $270,000 a year for trainers. There are pilots from Britain, France, New Zealand, and the United States. In fact, former U.S. Marine pilot Daniel Dugan was arrested in Australia in October. Formerly a major in the United States Marine Corps, he flew the famous Harrier jump jet. He also flew and carrier qualified with the Buckeye and the Skyhawk. And as all U.S. Marine pilots, Dan is a naval aviator and has compiled several hundred carrier landings on seven different aircraft carriers, a third of those being at night. He was a senior tactical instructor, and he held every tactical instructor qualification, including weapons and tactics instructor, and even the day-night night vision goggle aircraft carrier landing instructor. Other duties also included the Harrier Level 3 demo airshell pilot. He was deployed to the Persian Gulf flying missions in support of Operation Southern Watch, and while in the Gulf, he also flew from the British carrier the HMS Invincible. Dan finished his military flying career with the Marines after being chosen for exchange pilot duties with the Spanish Navy. Since leaving the Marines, he became a contract military tactical instructor and consultant and trained Chinese military pilots to land on aircraft carriers. The charges against Daniel Dugan date back to 2010 and include conspiracy to defraud the United States by conspiracy to unlawfully export defense services to China, conspiracy to launder money, and two counts of violating the Arms Export Control Act and International Traffic in Arms Regulations. Dugan is now an Australian citizen, and he was arrested there in October at the request of U.S. authorities under an extradition treaty between the two countries. The indictment says an ex-Navy T-2 Buckeye was purchased from a U.S. aircraft dealer to train Chinese pilots how to land on aircraft carriers. T-2s were used by the Navy for training up until about 2008. Dugan had been living in Beijing since 2014 and just recently had moved back to Australia shortly before his arrest. You might say, so what? But Chinese aim is to understand the tactics of Western jets that they may one day have to face in, say, a war over Taiwan. The Chinese are also looking to close the gap with rivals given its lack of combat experiences over the past 40 years. So you know what? It's time we start cracking down on this. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the COVID crisis with Dr. John Hughes. Then we'll talk with Dr. Deborah Korn about trauma therapy. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, do another 50, then stand at ease. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Dr. and fellow West Pointer John Hughes. John served our nation in the military and now is in the medical field, and he's committed to improve our nation and our military. I love that commitment. Welcome, John.
Hi, good morning, Denny.
John, start by telling us about your time in the military. Why did you decide to want to go to West Point? What got you there?
Well, Denny, I kind of grew up in the military. My father was in the Army, so I was an Army brat, and it's kind of all I ever wanted to go do. And then naturally, to be an officer, one of the best places to go to is West Point. So that's where I chose to go. While I was at West Point, wanted to continue in the family footsteps of being a warrior for our country, branched infantry. But I always had a love for being a doctor as well. So after a few years, I transitioned over to the medical corps and I became an ER doctor.
Okay. I know that the Army has a program, or did have a program anyway. I guess they still do, where someone in your situation could apply and the Army will send you to medical school and then you continue serving as a doc. I presume that's the process you went through?
Kind of. I kind of did a hybrid of it. Coming out of West Point, they offer a certain number of slots for cadets to go directly to medical school, but I was not ready to go at the time. So I applied for and received a two-year deferment, which allowed me to go be a paratrooper for a few years.
Okay. When I was a company commander in the 101st Airborne Division, I had a second lieutenant platoon leader who was 2 years behind me at West Point who did something like what you did. He went to Vietnam as an infantryman, came back, applied to medical school, and served the rest of his time as a doc. He ended up as the Surgeon General of the Army. So I know that process. I know it well. So that's what happened to you. You served a full career, I presume, in the Army, and then kept on as a civilian doc. Is that right?
I got out after 15 years in the Army. After a bunch of deployments overseas and a few family issues, I decided it was in my best interest not to go any further in the military.
Okay. That certainly makes sense. We were certainly in a deployment after deployment after deployment phase for a long time, weren't we?
Indeed.
Okay. I take it that you are very happy with your decision to go into the medical field and you enjoy your practice now.
I'm correct. I am happy that I'm a physician. There were some times when I deployed back as a physician that I did kind of miss being an infantryman, but I was actually able to secure a few jobs overseas that were quite interesting. So I kind of got to see a little bit of the best of both worlds as a doc in an infantry unit and then in a special forces unit. But now that I'm out, I have no regrets. And actually, it's kind of fortuitous that I crossed over into the medical world because some of the biggest issues of our time right now and some of the biggest crises facing our country are in the medical field. So having done both, it helps me a little bit to talk it both ways with our issues in the military and in the medical careers.
I certainly understand that. And clearly, in my mind, and I think yours too, probably the biggest crisis we've got medically and in our nation, probably by any standards, is COVID. I understand the crisis issue the first 3 or 4 months when it was hitting us, but it's totally, we've gotten away from science and everything else, haven't we?
Oh, it's even worse than that. Going back to the initial portion of COVID, when it first hit, we were as much in the dark as anybody else was in the world. But after, by about June of 20, it became clear what COVID was and what it was not. But what began to alarm me was the medical community was complicit with mass media and many from the federal government, though, and their desire to write what the narrative was supposed to be about COVID. And they began to punish those who were not on board with what they were saying. Fast forward a year to August of 2021, and the major medical boards in America who credentialed things like cardiology, emergency medicine, began to really jump on board by threatening to take away licenses of the doctors who were not playing with the narrative. And then even as we get into 2022, as COVID's winding down, our commander-in-chief has declared the pandemic is over. The medical community is still going after what they call medical misinformation to make sure that all doctors are only saying what the FDA, what Dr. Fauci, and what the other large-scale medical organizers want them to say. All dissent is crushed.
Isn't that the epitome of anti-science? When people who are practicing in a field, whether it's medicine or anything, can't talk about what they've found, can't talk about what they believe to be true, can't talk about what they're chasing. Isn't that contrary to science?
Oh, indeed. And it's frightening. And it's also a bit tragic at the same time. We spent a few hundred years developing the scientific method where independent thought was encouraged because that's how scientific advancements are made. I'm still a relatively young doctor. I've only been practicing for a little over 20 years, but many of the truths that I was taught when I was in medical school are no longer truths. And the reason is because it was allowed to be questioned.
And one of the things that I, years ago, when global warming was, the religion of global warming and climate change began, when they said that global warming was accepted science, was final. That's by definition the statement that I don't know what science is, because science by definition is never settled. And that certainly applies to COVID. But I know lots of docs who are saying what you're saying. If I say this, or if I even say this, much less do that, I can lose my credentials. And there's my career. And that's a horrible situation, isn't it?
Oh, it is. The issue is that they're doing such an effective job from the other side to suppress dissent that they're quieting everybody down. There's a bunch of doctors who think, as we are in this discussion here, but everyone is just afraid to speak up. And this is part of the issue, is that we need to motivate everyone to become unafraid and speak up. If more folks did so, we could put an end to this narrative.
And it takes some people that are willing to stand up and put their careers on the line. Because right now, if suddenly you're not authorized, credentialed, or whatever the thing is, health insurance won't pay you. You can get all kinds of things. You can't even formally practice. We need some people to stand up. And I guess they are starting to do that. Am I right?
Yeah, there are a few, but it's getting increasingly difficult. And I'm concerned that the window that we're going to have to right the ship of science in America is rapidly closing. The other side is very wily. For the last couple of years, they've been pulling the medical community's leadership and its publications further and further left, and they've squeezed everybody out, and there's very few mainstream medical platforms that you can speak on now to give an opposing point of view. They're kind of wily about it, where they haven't taken too many licenses away just yet, because of the, even though they have the threats on the book, but what they're doing is they're squeezing everybody else out. Where I just can't publish an opposing point of view in many of the major mainstream medical journals in America. And those who have tried, the well-known folks, the ones who do, for example, Dr. Malone and a bunch of other ones, immediately get publicly castigated. Now, those guys also get punished as well. A few of those guys have had lawsuits against them and other punitive actions against them.
This is beyond insane. This is like a dictatorship. Matter of fact, it's not like one. It is one. If people who are working in a scientific field or any field, but medicine certainly is nothing, if not science, aren't permitted to speak and examine and develop and challenge things, this is nasty. This is not the country that we grew up in, I don't think.
No, indeed, it's not. And this is where it gets worse. So in addition to this censorship of COVID, which is the preeminent topic of our day still at this time, they're also hijacking the narrative on just about everything else in medicine right now. You would think with a medicine where we have rampant obesity, cardiovascular deaths, record number of drug deaths, this is not what the medical community is interested in at all. All the medical doctors are talking about in the journals and the major organization is climate change and equity.
Holy smoke. That's beyond scary. Well, there's more to discuss about our nation's challenges in the medical field. John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, thanks for joining us for push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. John and I, we'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. John Hughes. John, we've been talking about how our nation is dealing with COVID. Any final thoughts on that?
The only final thoughts I have on that is that we just need Americans at all levels, whether you're a doctor or not, to start speaking out and pushing back.
Yes, sir. This is our country. We're citizens, and we have to stand up and fight for it. It's our country. Or a constitutional republic, we the people are responsible. It's time to stand up. Now, I know what you're doing. I know you are organizing a super PAC to help all Americans who want to help turn our nation back to common sense values. And a super PAC is political action committee going political, because this is about the only way to attack this puppy. And a super PAC has some special privileges that normal PACs don't. So talk about the super PAC and your goals.
Thank you, Danny. So unfortunately, I've also waded into a few affairs at West Point and some of the shenanigans going on there and in the military at large, vaccine mandates. And in there and in the medical community, a lot of us have come to the conclusion that change will not come from within. I think the only way now, and a lot of like-minded individuals here who I've become acquainted with in the last year, is that we have to sway elections and we have to sway public opinion. Within the realm of health, everyone in America needs to realize that COVID has been hijacked And it's not just about COVID. This is about control. This is about individual human rights and patient rights in America. As California put an exclamation point on it about 3 months ago, but they declared that patients no longer have the right to choose. This isn't just a COVID mandate. This is the physicians in the state of California, and I suspect this is going to spread, are no longer allowed to discuss the risks and the benefits of treatments. And this is going to expand far beyond COVID. And this is a extremely shocking discussion to have in this country here. We're the bastion of freedom for the world. And yet not only is healthcare and individual freedoms at stake, but the actual very nature of science itself. And so I've had discussions with the presidents of the American Medical Associations, with specialty societies. I've been shut down inside internal doctor chat rooms, and I've also been blocked out of medical journals as well. So unfortunately, and there, and in the medical and also the military side of things, the only way to speak out is going to be in the political realm. So what we've done is we've decided to form a super PAC. It's called Americanism24.org. And it's going to be a broad pro-American super PAC designed to educate Americans on the ideals of what America is supposed to be, what our founding documents have on the wonder of it that makes us the number one immigrant destination of the world, because the rest of the world can see how great America is. Unfortunately, way too many in America, especially those in the positions of power in the medical and the military worlds, don't see it that way.
You know, that's clear. The arbitrary way that people are being treated, we both know all branches of the service are hurting for people, yet they're throwing out fully qualified people that don't want the shot for whatever reason. This is not to make our forces more combat ready or to make us better in any way. The only explanation, I'm glad to accept another one if somebody could come up with it, is power. We're grabbing power. We're taking control. And this is not what America is about. That's why I like this idea of your PAC, because when you've done all you can do within your profession and it won't work and you're being shut down, it's not science anymore. It's a religion. This is the religion. This is what you believe, or you're thrown out. The only other option, and I agree with you, is going political. What's the next step?
Well, the next step now is that we're going to need to build a broad base of support so we can get mass media campaigns out there. When I was at West Point, I was actually a military history major. I did not major in pre-med there. And I studied Mao, Marxism, and also counterinsurgencies and how you defeat them. And unfortunately, the left right now, who has hijacked everything, is very effective. I despise what their message is, but you have to admire what they're actually doing. And to defeat them, we're going to have to do the same. This is where we have to control. We're in a civil war right now. And it's not a kinetic war. It's a non-kinetic information and a psychological war. And we're going to have to do that by just bombarding Americans with the actual truth. I mean, one truth, for example, is a doctor, especially as an ER doctor, near and dear to my heart, is the opiate epidemic. Over 80,000 of the 100,000 deaths last year were from fentanyl overdoses. As you saw last week, folks from both sides of the political aisle high-fived themselves for ripping the border wide open to end Title 42, which is where most of these evil drugs are coming across in our country and killed 80,000 Americans last year, and they're doing nothing about it. And it's very difficult to have this discussion, even in the medical world, as they refuse to speak about it. It's I'm nowhere to be seen on our websites and in our journals, except if I can stick this on a billboard, if I can stick this on mass media information campaigns, hopefully we can enter the consciousness of America. And this is something those from the left don't want us to do. They're petrified of the truth. So the whole point of our PAC is going to be to get the truth out there to Americans, to let them decide. And I think you'll find that when Americans can see the unfiltered truth, they're going to vote the correct way next time.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. John Hughes about his super PAC and about returning some freedom to America. John, this is going to take a political movement. Is your super PAC active now? And if not, when will it be?
We're just now getting off the ground, Denny. This is something that a few of us West Pointers and doctors have been talking about for the last few months here. We've just now formed the super PAC itself, and we hope to go live with it beginning in January.
Okay. Please let me know when that happens so that we can make sure that that word gets out to all our listeners, because this is not just about your health. This is about freedom in our country, freedom of discussion, freedom of science, being able to function scientifically. I taught political science for many years. And my standard joke is politics. Poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking insects. And therefore, as citizens, our job is to make sure we don't elect any ticks. Well, we got a bunch of ticks, or at least some people with some tick instincts, and we need to talk to them, call them, talk to them, let them know we won't put up with this anymore. Congressmen and senators, we, the people, have to make our voice heard. And one of the ways is through your PAC, right?
Yes, we hope so.
And that PAC will be up sometime the first half of January, you expect.
I should have it up by next week. It's going to be www.americanism24.org.
Okay.
We're going to begin small, but as we accumulate some more assets and some ability to reach more people, we're going to have some goals to do some far-reaching social media campaigns, billboards, things along those lines.
Obviously, you need money, so therefore you need contributions. And I presume people can contribute at your website once it's up?
Yes. I'm correct. Now, because we're a super PAC, the donations are not tax deductible, but we hope to use our website, though, as a conduit so that those who choose to contribute to our cause, we're able to see the fruits of what they're actually giving us.
And Americanism 2-4, what's the 2-4 for?
2-4 is for the ultimate goal of this is that we have 2 years until our next election. This last election, even though the GOP took the House, was an abomination. With the state that our country is in right now, it should have been a massive wave, as everyone predicted. And as you saw last week with the omnibus, it was a disaster for everyone in America. Way too much money spent. They spent on every single pet project from both sides they could think of. The only winner in America last week was Congress and all the corporations who are going to benefit from all the money that was wasted. The loser is America. We're under no illusion. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And our goal is to shape the elections in 2024.
And that is vital. Folks, we will let you know when Americanism24.org is up, but you can keep checking it. And let me encourage you to make a donation to them. This is a move that can affect our nation surviving as a real democracy, as a real constitutional republic. I could not be more supportive at all. John, final thought?
My final thought, Steny. I'm very appreciative of who you are and what you do. And I just hope you can also keep up the fight as well.
Thank you, John. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for your service to our nation in uniform, but especially now. If ever there was a time we needed a brave people to stand up and look the risk in the eye and go forward to protect our nation, it's now. And you are one of those few people. Thank you, brother.
Now, thank you, Danny. Happy New Year and God bless America.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Dr. Deborah Korn about dealing with trauma. Then we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver, and General Chris Petty will share the battle of the month. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for Jumpin' Jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.